The forum was to unravel the developmental prospects of the country and programs to put in place to catch up with the developed world. The board chairman of the IEA, Dr. Charles Mensah, wondered what had caused Ghana the seeming economic stagnation. He compared South Korea to Ghana, saying that Ghana had a higher GDP than South Korea some decades ago, but today South Korea lends to developing countries. He asked what had gone wrong.
I would like us to go back to 1955, when the so-called developing countries met at a small town in Indonesia called the Bandung. At that Bandung conference, most of the small countries came together. The developing countries, those who were then colonies, those who were, they all came together in Bandung, 1955. So there were 29 countries at that time. And those 29 countries made up 1.5 billion people on the surface of the earth. It was a big conference. Korea, South Korea was there. Malaysia was there. Singapore, Indonesia, India, big one was there, and China. Among the African countries were countries like Egypt, Ghana, Nigeria, Algeria, Tunisia, and several others. And the objective at that time was to oppose colonialism as an economic system. The political economy of colonialism was the objective. It's been 60, 55 years now or more, and the question is, have we been able to really uproot that old colonial economic system?
The director of the Center for Development Studies at the University of Cambridge, Dr. Ha-Jung Chan, said free trade is not the option for Ghana at this moment.
Yeah, you can get a bit of foreign aid and so on, but you know, the main part of it has to come from your export. Huh? Now, when I say this, people often say, yeah, therefore that we should do free trade. No. However, that is the confusion, because to have good export performance, you need a lot of government intervention. First of all, export markets are very difficult to break into. I mean, they have a high entry barrier, if I use some sort of economic jargon. So the government needs to provide a lot of help, you know, export subsidies. Unfortunately, these are banned by the WTO these days. But also marketing support, yeah, help with meeting various standards, ISO, you know, the sanitary standard, phytosanitary standard. The government should also share risk, yeah, things like export loan guarantees.
Dr. Chan said Ghana has no excuse to continue lagging behind in terms of development.
You heard Justice Amitabh's report.
A senior political scientist at the University of Ghana, Professor Ransford Jampu, has endorsed public funding of political parties. He believes this is the surest way of curbing corruption. According to him, if individuals fund parties, it becomes difficult to prosecute them when they engage in corrupt practices. He spoke to Bubu Klinogo.
Well, we've always proposed public funding of political parties, and one of the reasons why argue that there should be public funding of political parties is that, apart from what you're talking about, even the internal democratic practices of the party tend to be hijacked by financiers. Simply because somebody finances a party, he determines who must be selected to go contest election, and he determines what must be done in the party. And those of you who don't contribute much, you have no say. Am I the same way? When there is corruption by those... Definitely, when people fund political parties, they don't fund it because they are Father Christmas. They fund it because they know that when the party comes to power, it will give them contracts and give them opportunities to recoup the funding that they may have spent on the party. Now, such people, when they are given opportunity to serve and they involve themselves in corrupt practices, it becomes difficult for the party to deal with them, because then you may end up dealing with people who may have helped you and all that. And so that's the more reason why we argue that you should have public fund of political parties, so that all these tendencies will stop. And then take note, political parties in Ghana are weak because they are unable to attract the right caliber of people to their fold. And then these weak caliber of people they eventually attract are the people who get groomed and become political leaders, and they are unable to fashion out proactive and effective programs to tackle the challenges of underdevelopment. And so my point is, weak political parties would always give birth to weak leaders. Strong political parties would always give birth to strong leaders. And so, Bubu, If political parties were to be funded by, publicly, they would be able to attract people, somebody like you, so that immediately after school, you say, I'm not working anywhere, I'm going to work at the party office. And then with the training, you, with your education and your experience and competence, you'll be able to help the party, and the party grooms you. Tomorrow, you are a policymaker, and you are an experienced and competent person to be in charge of that role and all that.
Senior Political Lecturer, University of Ghana, Professor Ransford Jampu.